Do you want to make your company more profitable and your employees happier? Research shows more women in leadership positions are the way to go. Welcome to The Leaders Talk, a podcast series by The Female Factor in collaboration with the Business Network Senate of Economy in Austria. My name is Madis and I'm the co-founder of The Female Factor, a global career and business platform aiming to close the gender leadership gap for good. We enable more women to get a seat at the table and support inclusive companies to find top-notch talent in Europe. The Leaders Talk will cover honest conversations with female CEOs and board members of different industries, sharing inspiring stories and hands-on advice on how to create an inclusive workplace and equal opportunities in business. So let's get started. Today's guest is Christina Wilfinger. She is the managing director of SAP in Austria. To be precise, she's the first female managing director in Austria. She also teaches at the Danube University in Krems, which is my tiny little hometown, by the way. And she currently lives with her husband and daughter in Vienna. And now I'd be curious to know, as an intro to who you are, why did you not end up as a professional saxophone player, as your LinkedIn profile says, and instead now lead one of the largest technology companies in Europe?
So first of all, good afternoon, and thank you so much for inviting me. Oh, that's a very good question. So the part of my family is musician, and the other part is more like from an accounting perspective, so the tech guys or the mathematical guys. And that's my history, that's my DNA. And when I was 14, my biggest dream was to become the next Candid Alpha. Unfortunately, I was really not good enough, to be very honest and transparent. And then I decided to go to HTL and to start learning programming. And that's more or less the reason in a nutshell why I'm here.
Wow. Okay. So is there anything from your passion for music that you are bringing now into the tech and business world?
And there are a lot of good examples how to really conduct an orchestra and to lead a team. So I think there are a lot of similarities which you can learn from on the one hand, and on the other hand, and that's a very personal story as well. So I was 6 years old when I started learning playing piano. And I think that's like training a muscle. It's something that it's doing with your mind. So you have to, with the left hand, right hand, learning the treble clef and the bass clef, reading music notes. So a lot of things you have to do as a 6 year old. And I think that's something what your brain is training to do really more things in a different way, or to really think, okay, what can I do in parallel? And it's very logical as well. So, and empathic, of course. So it's music can give you a lot. And that's more or less as you can see, it's a passion for me. And it drives me on a daily basis. It really calms me down. And it's part of my life, yeah.
So does that mean you're good at multitasking?
Of course.
Oh, wow.
I think a lot of people
admire you for that now.
But of course, I think that's a natural superpower of more or less so many women. So I think that's something what we have to deal in a daily business. Yeah.
Interesting. Speaking of superpowers, so multitasking. Mm-hmm. Wow. So I also read on your LinkedIn profile a statement that really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. It says you're not a leader until you created another leader. I love that. So my question is, do you have any easy tips for people who are currently leading a team or want to lead a team on really how to create another leader successfully?
I think one important topic is, and that's what I've observed during the last 20 years, you have to, when you think about your team, it's not just about, okay, diversity and bringing the best brains into a team. It's more or less to have different skill sets, but a common mindset. And you always have to look for people who are better than you, because that makes you better, and then you can start teaching, learning from them and coaching them, and not just look for I will be the boss for the next 10 years and I have to deal with a team and I have to teach them how to do their work. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes what I've observed and what I've seen, that especially leaders think, okay, they are the best, and that's the reason why they are here. In some circumstances, it's just okay by coincidence, because okay, there was a job, there was a job profile, and I'm fulfilling the gap, and that's the reason why I'm here now. But it's not based on my passion to really leading and manage. So I think there's a huge difference between leading and managing a team. And leading is okay, I'm the coach, like a soccer coach. You are not part of the game. You are besides the line, and not just the playing captain in a 90-minute match. Yeah.
Interesting example with the soccer coach. Mm-hmm. I love that. So would you say for people who have recently started to lead a team, what would be really hands-on advice, whether it is in coaching other people, mm-hmm. being on the sideline, but at the same time have influencing the game and equipping them with what they need during that game?
I think when you're a team lead, more or less 80% of your time is listening.
Mm.
It's listening, learn, and observe. And that's a very, very tough cookie. And I run through this journey as well, because and I'm very passionate, I'm a very quick-speaking person. Okay, let's get the things done. But that's not my job as a leader from our team. I have to listen, and then I have to wait, okay, or can coach them. Okay, there is a decision you have to make. There's an option A, B, and C. And it's not my idea that there's an option A, B, and C. You have to really show them the way to really, okay, is there really an option? Is there an alternative? And that's a lot of work behind this. Shut up your mouth and just listen.
Okay, just listening. How has your teaching experience mm-hmm. at the university affected your approach to building relationships in your team? And also, have you gained any insights from the students?
Of course, and I think that's the reason why I'm still lecturing at the university, because students with a different background, they can bring you up with new ideas, and that's exactly what you need. You need new impressions. You need fresh fruit from your brain, because especially in a corporate life, in IT life, even if you have different customers and industries you have to work on a daily basis, you need that kind of fresh ideas, and that's coming from the next generation. And that's what drives me to really go out and teach, and I really enforce and I really try to embrace my team. Okay, please go to your university, go to your Fachhochschule or whatever, and listen to the next generation. What is their idea? What is their mindset? What they want to know from you? And let's be open, and I think the best word to describe or is be open, that the studies will challenge you.
Hmm.
That you can become a better teacher. Yeah.
Speaking of this next generation, mm-hmm. And you spoke about IT. Now, you are a leader who started her, you know, education in a kind of tech high school, let's say. We still do not have enough women in the sphere, obviously. Not a lot has changed throughout the past 20 years. So why do you think that is? And how can we get more girls and women interested in STEM? So science, technology, engineering, and math.
I think that's a good question. And I think we did a lot in the past, but as we talked before, it was not enough, and it didn't resonate. Unfortunately, and I don't know. I don't have the answer why.
What do you mean with you did a lot in the past already, or we did a lot?
We did a lot of with girls in tech and initiatives, not only in the corporate. I think there are several initiatives from the government as well to mm-hmm. really try to put the STEM subjects into the school. So a lot of things already happened, of course, during the last 25 years, and. I told you the story because I'm in a regular touch point with my headmaster from my technical high school, and I think I think 5% female ratio 25 years ago.
Mm.
And despite all the initiatives, all the events, all the ideas, after 25 years nothing changed. And yeah, that's very sad, to be honest, very, very sad. And as we talked before, I think we have to really start that kind of, okay, how we're going to treat girls and boys in the kindergarten, how we're going to teach them in the primary school. And of course, there's a difference between girls and boys and women and men, and that's good. But we don't have to really put them into one bucket, okay, because of that's a girl. And I have a daughter, she's in the kindergarten, and yeah, that's exactly what is happening. So girls are playing with puppies, girls are the nice ones. And just remember the statement, or think about a statement, oh, be nice. Nobody will tell this boy, be
yeah,
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Be bold, but a girl has to be nice. And I think that's something, of course, which is, we force them into a role model. And that's not good. And that's a society issue, not just a government issue or from an education perspective. Of course, there's a lot of work to do. But I think it starts at the parents, it starts at the primary school, at the kindergarten. Okay, girls can do everything on the one hand. And on the other hand, of course, coming back to the tech industry and to the IT business, the salary is great. Of course, that's a fact. So you can earn a lot of money when you're in the tech industry. And that's a great story. And we have to go back to the teenage girls, to the 12, 13-year-old girls. Come on, it's not just, okay, don't get me wrong, and apologize to every marketing ladies outside. It's just an example. But compared to the wages, it's a huge difference. You can earn a lot of money when you're in the IT business. And that's, I think that's a good fact. Of course, when we are talking about the current situation and uncertainty regarding, okay, what's going on in our business life, what's going on in the world. So it's a lot of fun, and it's a very well paid fun.
I agree, and that's actually...
It's a long answer, sorry for that.
No, I actually 100% agree with you. The impact on financial independence for women is incredible in tech, and actually the salary is one of the main factors why the next generation chooses to, you know, go to the next employer maybe.
Exactly.
We recently did a study in Austria, Germany, and Switzerland, and salary was top factor. So tech is the place to go, apparently. You mentioned that you have a daughter. How do you currently manage your work-life balance? That's a question that often comes up in our community.
I think that there is no general rule for that. And as you mentioned, I don't have a superpower. It's just multitasking. And
just multitasking.
It's just, yeah, but
it's
it is.
A major superpower.
Yeah, it is. I think I made this comparison with octopus because with, I think, 10 arms and legs. But the key word is outsourcing. Of course, it's a very technical term, but it's outsourcing. So, and don't be shy to ask for help. You can't do anything by your own. So, was part of my call because I talked to my rent nanny. She was handling my daughter in the afternoon, and you don't be shy to ask for help, of course, and ask parents. And and there's a good quote: "It takes a village to raise a child," and it's true. And you need that village. Of course, we don't live in a village, so you have to build your own village to really handle this. Yeah,
build your own village.
Mm-hmm.
Love that. So COVID has affected businesses around the world. Has affected all of us as human beings. What effects have you witnessed at SAP specifically in the past 2 years, and what were the most important changes and learnings for you and your team?
Of course, we in the tech industry we were used to work in a hybrid life with flexible working times and working virtually and working abroad. So it was nothing new for us. But what we have seen is that especially for industries. For conservative industries, it was like a bang. Okay, now shut down. Okay, how can we handle to really make your business, to make our business? And what we have observed at SAP that we were more or less a role model and tried to teach our customers and our partners, our clients, how to deal with that situation. And it was a learning process, of course. And after more or less 2 years, It sounds so simple and so and I told you before the story, coming back to the office, make it as an event, because that pure home office working, I think that's not very healthy. Of course, it's very efficient, it's practical, and you can do a lot, of course, from a sustainability perspective, because based on my experience, usually I started my job 1.5 years ago, and before pandemic, it was common to be on a plane twice a week. And now everybody, okay, so it's working. It's working without traveling, and you can do a lot in a virtual world, but not everything. And that was the reason why we invented an office day, to make it as an event, to really bring the teams together, especially when you have new workforce, new employers. They just picked up the laptop and the cell phone, and then back to the home office. Okay, which company I'm working for? Is it SAP? Is it another tech player? So it's very difficult to really to really bring up, okay, what's the company culture? And I think that kind of mixture, that's what we have observed, is what we have to really deal with it. And that's there is no rule you can really scale for all companies or for all industries, but you really have to find your own way as a company, how to make it digestible, the portion of home office, virtual world, and the personal world. And I think that's what we have learned a lot. And that's the reason why we make it as an event or a happening to come back to the office. Yeah.
So what does this office day look like? So all the employees are at the office that day.
So we started with a breakfast, of course. It's always
food good. Needs to food, be involved.
Exactly. Okay. Food and drinks. No, we started with breakfast, and then we had an external guest speaker. So we did it twice. So the last office day took place last week. So I think 6th on April, yeah. And I just mentioned the first agenda point was, okay, update, coming back, what does it mean? Really be very open and transparent. Okay, how do you feel? Then we had some kind of entertainment with an external speaker. And each and every department has an own topic to really present. It's their, okay, what's your daily work? What have you do? What is your, how does your team look like? Whatever. It's just very open and creative. And we had some nice ideas regarding a Herzblatt show from the commerce team. We had a sushi cooking experience from one of the departments. Several different ideas came up, which was so okay. That's the reason why I'm here. That's the way how a company works and what the real culture is. You can feel it. It's not just okay, you have another Teams or Zoom meeting. Of course, you know your colleagues, and everybody was so annoyed to get the next wine tasting virtual. Or whatever. So because everybody of us had this kind of experience. That was one topic. And the other topic is, it was the last, we had a lot of interest groups bringing up their ideas, interest groups, for instance, our business women network, we have a soccer team, we have a pride community. And it's not just, okay, what is a department doing? It's just, okay, besides the daily business thing, what is your company really stands for? And there is much more than just the daily business, yeah.
So if anyone would have asked 2-3 years ago, what is an office day? That's the reality every day.
Yeah.
Interesting how the world has changed. You know, we at the Female Factor care mostly about diversity, specifically gender diversity in teams and on leadership level. Give us an understanding of how you're doing there. Do you have goals, KPIs? Give us some facts, please.
Okay. I think the most important thing is that I'm very proud that my female or my gender diversity ratio on a company level is at 35%, which I'm very super proud of it, to be honest. And on the leadership level, it's more or less 50%.
Wow.
And I think that's a lot of facts, but the two major figures are 50% and 35%. It's not enough, to be honest. But I think it's not just the facts, and it's very important to have these facts. It's just to really, okay, in some cases, to really convince, especially female talents, to really be the best person for that job. And I had that experience when I took over my role. I really had to convince her, yes, you can do it. And it's not just one conversation. I think it took me 5 meetings, a lot of calls, not just from my perspective, not from myself, from my counterparts, from different other management colleagues, from other colleagues from the company. And I think that's what we have to put on our daily agenda, to really be open and have it on your radar screen. Okay, we have a lot of talent in our organization, and usually they are not here. And it's okay, I'm here, I want to do this. You have to really pick them up and unfortunately convince them and make them shine and say, okay, yes, it's possible. And that's, I think, what my daily agenda is, to really look for that kind of talents each and everywhere.
Do you look for potential, or do you look for specific traits?
I'm looking for attitude. It's really the attitude. It's the attitude, because my personal belief is that you can learn everything. Of course, we are in a tech company, and you need to have some kind of passion for technology, but you don't need a technological background from an education perspective. I think it's attitude, and I already told you my best practice example, because I'm super happy with that people development, because we had a talent coming from the tourism industry, a very, very good salesperson with no technological background or no background in economics. It was just okay. She knows how to deal with people, and she knows how to sell. And the rest, that's my job that's the job from our company, to really train her, to educate her. Yeah. So it's more looking for attitude. Yeah.
I love that. My last question in every podcast episode is not a question. It's more like a polite request. So can you share one thing with us that you can commit to now, to contribute to helping other women rise to the top at their company or at your company?
As I said, I try. No, it's not a try. Try is the wrong word. You are here to change the world. And that's my message to each and every lady and each and every girl, each and every colleague. You are here to change the world, and you are here to really try to make the world a better place. It sounds so apathetic, but it's not. I think I really believe in it, because just sit and wait, it's not an option. And that's the example what I told you before. It's to really enforce talents, female talents. You can do it, and stand up and speak it out loud. And I think that's the most powerful thing I can do, because I stood up and I'm speaking, and that's what I'm doing. I try to do on a daily basis.
Okay, so your commitment is then to stand up, speak, and what can I make it happen? What can I hold you accountable to in a year from now? Let's say. I need to be strict on this.
Okay, you need facts. I love that, because I'm fact-oriented. You need numbers. So to keep the level at the management team at least at the 50%.
Gender parity, level,
yeah. Okay. And to increase the level on the company level up to 40%.
I like that. Okay, so in a year I will ask you, did you manage to get 40% female talent in the company? Mm-hmm. Love it. Thank you so much, Christina. It was a pleasure. Congrats again on being the first female managing director at SAP in Austria. They're very lucky to have you, and can't wait to see what other things are coming up this year.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
We hope this conversation inspired you to take action towards equal opportunities in the workplace. Thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about the Female Factor, or if you like to give feedback to this podcast, head over to our website, femalefactor.global. We're looking forward to hearing from you.